You're listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. What I'd like to do now is step back in time to mark a year since the 13th of February when Pope Francis was elected as successor of Peter. That was almost a year ago. I'll be doing this by speaking to two American Jesuits from different generations who live in different parts of the country. The younger of the two is Father Edward Siebert, who lives and works in Los Angeles and is currently president and executive producer of Loyola Production. Recently in Rome to attend a meeting which brought together over 300 Catholic communicators from over 80 countries for the Cygnus World Congress 2014 on the theme Media for a Culture of Peace, creating images with a new generation. The elder of the two is a friend of our radio station, so his voice is familiar to regular listeners. He's historian and well-known author, Jesuit Father Gerald Fogarty. Let's begin with Father Fogarty. Were you overjoyed when you heard that the Pope was a Jesuit?
Well, sort of, because I didn't think he had a chance because of the long tradition. The other thing is, as a historian, and I'm not trying to be cynical, but I was warned by an Italian friend years ago. This was with Paul VI, and that's how old I am. I was really moved by hearing him speak, and this Italian friend of mine looked at me and said, "Is this the first Pope you've ever seen?" I said, "Well, yes." So we have a saying here, your first is always your best. The point is distinguishing the person and the office. So certainly he's a change. In the United States, Jesuits are identified for reasons I can't explain, but they see us as dangerous liberals. People even say Jesuit with this venom. Some people said this about the election of Francis. And I think his style has been a welcome change, much more concern for the people. His decision to live at the Domus Sante Marte.
His choice of name. Francis.
Choice of name, which supposedly he got from one of his fellow cardinals in Latin America, you know, the inspiration for it. Now, it's going to be interesting because he certainly has a terrible job. And I was thinking maybe it will help the reputation of Jesuits, although even some American bishops have been negative. I do not know why our vocations are dropping. So I'm in hopes that maybe he will change the image a bit. In the United States, we're way down. And our main apostolates are dying. Education. Which to me, that was the main thing we had, and now we've lost it. And even if our vocations increase, it'll be difficult for us to get back the status we had. So I don't think he can change that, but I think he's presented a different image, and it certainly has helped me in my work too, because people say, well, you can never have a Jesuit pope. And there is this anger about the Jesuits in the United States. I don't think it's here, but I can't figure out what it is. You know, it's dangerous to raise questions. Well, that's what we do. The new United States ambassador here, Hackett, he went to a Boston College, a Jesuit university, and he said that's one of the things he admired about the Jesuits was it taught him to raise questions. Pope Francis impressed the Jesuits by immediately calling the general. And then the general sent out a letter to all of us about their first meeting. Because he said, I walked in to greet him as the Pope, but he met me like a fellow Jesuit. And then he describes that when we left, we left one another as fellow Jesuits. And he added, to the shock of the Swiss guards. So I presume it meant they embraced.
Do you think he's more Francis or more Ignatius?
I'd say he's more Francis right now. Just the simplicity of life. Ignatius was simple too. And I'm sure that he's going to make a lot of changes according to his personality. He's already brought in a new Secretary of State, Parolin, who does know English. Bertone didn't.
But weren't the Catholics in the United States happy to have someone that comes from the Americas?
In general, yes. But, of course, there are all sorts of rumors that immediately started in the press about where he stood with the military government and so forth and so on, which that's quieted down now. But I think the enthusiasm for that was somewhat muted more. Now, I read this Pope's homilies. I mean, they're daily. So I tried to read them as much as possible every day because I get the Vatican Information Service. And I've been very impressed with his insights and the scripture and the way in which his own spirituality is so based in scripture. Because I try to do that. I preach in a parish every Sunday. And I try to very much to make the scripture come alive for people, and I found he's very useful for them. But in terms of having a Latin American. Many Americans think many people from the United States, they'll say, when are we going to have an American pope? I said, probably never. Not as long as the United States is a world power.
Now we've listened to Father Fogarty, why not listen to Father Siebert on this theme? His profession leads him to meet mainly non-Catholics who often don't have much of an idea as to what it is to be a Jesuit.
When I take meetings in Los Angeles, I meet with a lot of producers, and of course they don't know our world at all. So if they find out or I tell them I'm a Jesuit, they look at me and say, a Jesuit? Like, well, what is that? Is that Jewish? So it's true. They really don't know what that means. So the world that I'm in is, although I'm very mission-driven in our organization, I have a lot of folks who don't understand necessarily what we're all about. So when you have a pope, like Pope Francis, who underneath it says Jesuit, all of a sudden they can put two and two together and say, oh, there's something unique here.
How did you react when you discovered that the pope is someone from your community?
Well, I was in a meeting and I wanted to watch on we were all watching on television, but I had to get called out. But during the meeting, I got a text from a friend of mine in Los Angeles who works in television. And he says, new pope is a Jesuit. I started laughing because I thought, well, that can't be. That's not going to be. So I put laughing out loud on my text. And he said, no, seriously, it's a Jesuit. So I ran out of me. I said, excuse me. I ran to the television. And sure enough, there he is. So first and foremost, I was shocked. Because, you know, our history as Jesuits, I mean, we were a religious order that was suppressed. So for us to go 500 years, you know, or when you're taking 200 years, at one point we had a general who was imprisoned in Castel San Angelo, and now all of a sudden you can look at the other direction and see that there's a Jesuit in the chair of St. Peter. That's pretty astounding. I was pleasantly surprised that one of his first gestures is to get the blessing of all the people who were there at St. Peter's Square. And I was in tears.
Going back to those days, that was about a year ago now, he took the name Francis. How did you feel about that? A Jesuit who takes the name Francis.
I was just happy that he was sending messages that would resonate with people, that was a very clear example of what he wanted to do and who he really wanted to be. And that is a man for the people and really with people. And for him to take the name Francis, talking about simplicity and respect and concern, living with good stewardship models, those kind of things, what resonated. So when I heard Francis, I immediately thought Francis of Assisi and sort of what he was all about and his rich tradition and legacy that he has put into this church and to the world. And for him to draw upon that, it inspires others. So it inspired me as well. It was also, as a Jesuit, it's very interesting, you know, a call to a more simple way of living. You know, at times it's good to sort of take a step back and say, hey, I can live more simply. I can be a little bit more attuned to the people who don't have what we have, the downtrodden, the poor, the outcast. So it's always a reminder of what we're all about, all of us, and not just religious, but all people of faith.
A year on, do you think he's more Ignatius or more Francis?
I think he's more Ignatian. Absolutely.
Can you explain?
Sure. Well, I mean, if you look at sort of the way he's doing things. I mean, one of the things that he did, which is right out of our playbook, is to put a group of people together who he can consult with, consultors, people that he can talk to and get feedback from. He can't be everywhere, but he can rely on the people who are in the trenches and to give him the feedback that he needs. And I think he does that very deliberately. So it's very Ignatian to consult.
Do you think your image today has been boosted by the presence of a Jesuit pope?
Absolutely. You know, in the United States, we have, 27 universities, 57 high schools in major metropolitan areas, mostly. So we have an impact in the United States. We do have a voice. I think what this Pope has done for us, because he is a Jesuit, has just brought more attention to who we are and what we're about as, use the expression, sons of Ignatius. We really have had, I would say, what they call it the Francis bump. So there's more interest, the Francis bump, a bump in terms of, you know, I think more young men are interested in religious life. I think the schools have a certain pride and a sense of belonging to the church in a way that they haven't in the past. There definitely is a good, joyful spirit about the connection between the Pope and the Jesuit world in the United States, from what I can tell. when I sit in a Jesuit rec room and we're all, you know, talking around the table, you can hear the excitement in people's voice when they talk about how they're part of something that's very exciting.
Is there anything that strikes you in particular about Pope Francis?
Well, again, in my experience of, well, just living in Los Angeles, I know a lot of people who are not Catholic. Not as Catholic as some cities like Boston or Chicago, New York, Cleveland. I mean, it's Los Angeles. There's a strong Catholic community, but it's not as Catholic as those cities. So when you have a Pope who's on the cover of, say, Rolling Stone magazine, or a Pope who is on the cover of Esquire magazine, and it says best dressed, all of a sudden people are perking up and saying, what is this all about? Who is this man? He's on Esquire magazine. He's on Time magazine. The New Yorker magazine had a wonderful image of him making the snow angel. If you saw that, it's worth looking at in a good article. So there are people who are not in our faith community who are really inspired by this man. And it's all tonal. He is not changing church doctrine. He's taking things to, in my opinion, and I think in others, the people that I talk to, into a very relatable message. And it resonates with people.
You work in communication, so he's a good communicator.
All by example. I mean, it was Francis who said, preach the gospel, use words if necessary, or something like that. In other words, the actions are going to speak louder than the words. And I think the actions of Pope Francis has been inspiring. And again, I know a lot of non-Catholics, and they're inspired by this man.
Many thanks there to Jesuit Father Edward Siebert, president and executive producer of Loyola Productions. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.